you fought off basically certain death to be here sitting with me today. Welcome to Made Us. I'm your host, Zach Weaver. I'm a tattooer by trade and competitive shooter by passion, and today I start my life as a podcaster. We all have moments in our lives that molded us and forged us into the people we are today. On Made Us, we take a comical deep dive into these stories with the people that lived them. Before I go any further, I gotta say thank you for joining me for this first episode of Made Us. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the show, rate the show, and share the show with a friend. It really goes a long way. On today's episode, I sit down with a lifelong friend, a friend I've had for 20 plus years, and a man that has fought back from certain death. I don't really need to go any further with this introduction. This guy will say it all. Please help me welcome Josh Frazee. Josh, buddy, welcome.
How's it going, man?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Just out hustling.
So I am super happy to have you here today.
Good.
So, Josh, I know all about you. We've been friends since fourth grade. The earliest memory I have of you is fourth grade. We've been friends 20 plus years.
Yep.
I know you. Tell the listeners a little about yourself.
I'm Josh Frazee, realtor with Remax by the Lake, Frazee team. Do real estate, sell real estate. Before that, you know, when I was running around with Zach, we were pretty much teepee in this neighborhood that we're sitting in right now. And
that is pretty crazy.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we tipped over some Porter Johns while they're developing this.
Somehow we're productive adults.
Yes. And of course, there's my phone. Sorry about that.
You're good, man. Let's talk about your life a little bit right now. You're a father of three, recently a father of three, right? Is that true?
Yeah. So I have an 8-week-old.
That's fucking gnarly, dude.
with a 1-year-old also.
Oh, man. That's super gnarly.
And a 6-year-old.
You were not messing around there.
No. Three girls.
Three girls. That's crazy,
and
dude.
And a redheaded wife.
And a redheaded wife. You are screwed for the rest of your life.
I know. Everybody's like, do you ever get time off work? Nope. Mm-hmm. Man, that's the way I like it.
So you are killing it right now in the real estate game, dude. We just talked a little bit ago, and you said you've sold 71 houses this year, and it's the beginning of August.
Yeah.
That's fucking incredible.
Yeah, I'm a little behind my goal. I should be about 90 right now, but...
Really? What was your goal for this year?
150.
Wow, man, that's really pushing it. 150 sales in a year? That's fucking pushing it, dude. So I did see this, that you were named one of America's best real estate agents by RealTrend.
Yep.
That's pretty fucking sweet. How did that come about?
Actually, one morning I was doing my routine, drinking coffee, and I seen an email come in, and it was an email announcing that. And I'm like, oh, I thought it was some kind of advertisement wanting to get money out of me. And then all of a sudden my phone rings and it's Lars, my broker. And he's like, dude, congrats. You're on it. I'm on it.
That's incredible.
We're rocking it.
That is absolutely incredible, man. So, that's just crazy to think that this crazy kid I grew up with that we used to call Crazy Frazee is one of the top real estate agents in the nation right now. So, Josh, the real reason we brought you here today is being a good friend of mine. I know that you're
the father of one of my children.
Yes, exactly. That you fought off basically certain death to be here sitting with me today, which is fucking incredible. I remember the moment I found out, and I'm going to let you kind of talk about what I'm even talking about here. So bring us up to date.
Yeah, so it was 2 years ago. Close to 2 years ago. I wasn't feeling too well. My wife kept telling me go to the doctor and get checked out.
Yeah, but why would you listen to your wife?
Right. Why? Yeah. Dude, I got the flu.
That doesn't make any sense.
I got the flu or I drank too much the night before. It's one of those two.
Absolutely.
So I went and the doctor was like, no, there's something seriously wrong with you. You lost 20 pounds and you were here 3 weeks ago for a physical. Something's not right.
Yeah. Did you notice the weight loss or was it just something that...
No, that's how fat I was. Oh, you know, I lost 20 pounds, didn't even know. And the doctor's like, were you trying to lose weight? And I was like, well, I thought about it. I've been thinking about going to the gym, but I'm still eating cakes and drinking beer. Like, In fact, I was kind of proud because I was down 20 pounds. My goal was like to lose 30.
No, you're like, this is incredible. Yeah,
sweet. Yeah, sweet. And she's like, you need to go get some blood work done and go get an ultrasound. Yeah, so a 9-month pregnant woman gave me an ultrasound, which I was like, hey, shouldn't you be getting this?
Yeah, that's crazy. It's and total role reversal.
Yeah, she wasn't saying much. She wasn't too into my shenanigans.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So
she's ready to pop and you're out there with your little belly hanging out.
Right. So she suddenly just got up and left. And then a doctor came in 10, 15 minutes later and was like, hey, were you in an accident? You know, and I'm like, no.
You're like, I don't think so. I don't
He's
really
like, well,
remember.
You have a large, you know, like bruise or something in the ultrasound. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I roughhouse with guys, you know, maybe. He goes, no, you don't get that from wrestling. You wouldn't remember that. At that moment, Cassie's like freaking out. My wife, Cassie. And I'm like, what are you worried about? You know, it's probably my spleen is ruptured or something.
Yeah. Because you're a lunatic and you're thinking, yeah. There's nothing.
No big deal. I'm 30 years old.
Yeah. What could happen, right?
Yeah. So we go get the CAT scan. And then it was like, hey, come back here. And they take us to the break room with the nurses. And they're like, you want something to eat? You want something to drink? And I'm like, hey, can you just cut the shit and tell me what's going on here?
Yeah.
Because why are you whining and dining me in a break room right now?
Yeah, that seems really strange if something's not really wrong.
And they're like, well, your doctor needs to come in and talk to you. And we were set to go on a cruise the next day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where were you guys going on the cruise?
We were going to go to Jamaica.
Okay. Where are we leaving out of?
O'Hare.
O'Hare? Yeah. Flying out O'Hare down to Miami?
Miami.
Oh, dude, that'd be fun.
Yeah. So the doctor came in. Hey, you can't leave anywhere. We don't want you to... If this thing busts, you could die. And, you know, and giving me all this stuff. And she's like, look, it could be cancer. We don't know.
They just knew it was some kind of...
Yeah. You're probably going to have a surgery this week.
And I'm like, geez.
Okay. And then at this moment, Cassie's like crying. And I'm just like, okay, that's just, you know, it's some kind of just bullshit.
Yeah. So what was this, 2015?
Yes.
Yeah, end of 2015?
Yeah, it was...
Right around...
it was right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Because I think I called you right about then.
I ended up having my first surgery. I got out of the hospital Christmas Eve.
Okay. Yeah, I know that... We both attend a local barber shop and we went to school with the barber. And I know that when I walked in to get my hair cut that day, he looked at me and he said, have you talked to Josh recently? And I said, no, probably not in a month. You know, I haven't talked to him a little bit. He goes, you need to go outside and call him right now. Jeez. And I've never heard him. It was something I've never heard him act like before. Never heard that tone from him.
Right. Yeah. Richie's usually an asshole.
Yeah. And it was such a weird thing to hear coming out of him. That I knew something was wrong because why would I, you know what I mean? Like, why would you call, like, why would I call you all of a sudden for now?
Yeah. Maybe call Josh, call him an asshole. You
yeah.
Know
and I remember talking to you, man. I think what you said was right on Christmas.
Because
I think I talked to you right after Christmas, right around then.
I think it was like Christmas Eve.
Or Christmas Day. I called you and we talked and I was floored, man. I was sick to my stomach. It was something that I could barely fathom to come up with that, you know, my best friend since fucking 10,
right,
you know, has cancer and they basically said, you're going to die.
Right.
You know, as brutal as that sounds, that's what they told you. You're going to die.
Right. It was, you know, so the 2 weeks leading up, you know, something's in me. They don't know what it is. It's serious. No more joking. And then they did the colonoscopy, which was a whole other ordeal and comic.
Yeah, and telling you no more joking is a whole other
ball game
right there.
Yeah. So then they found out it was stage 4 colon cancer and had spots in my lungs and liver and stuff, you know. And then it was, you know, pretty serious.
Yeah, that's stage 4 colon cancer. I mean, stage 4 anything, that's serious business. They're that's far along.
Yeah, it. That's the thing with it. You'll be fine one day, and you'll have it for a while. It's a sneaky cancer, I guess. It just, you don't get symptoms until it's basically too late.
Yeah.
And who would think that, you know, just test for colon cancer on a 30-year-old?
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Especially a fairly healthy 30-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
I was like 100, no, I was 200 pounds. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I'm
but
200 pounds.
We're not.
5'8".
We're not 400-pound guys, you know.
Right.
Like a fairly healthy 30-year-old shouldn't be going through this. It shouldn't be a thing that's even in our minds at that time.
No. So you're dealt with, okay, I'm going to die, or I'm going to live, you know, and it just dawns on you, like, I'm going to die someday. And yeah, everybody says that, you know.
Yeah.
Before really you go bungee jumping, I'll die sometime, but.
Yeah, to really think about that mortality of yourself. It's, right. It's crazy.
And as you're getting beat up by this evil thing, you know, you're just, okay, I used to run around, be super active. I mean, you know how I am.
Oh, absolutely.
It's hard for me to sit still right now.
Yeah, like, I know. It's driving you nuts just sitting here talking to me.
Feet's tapping, phone's ringing, I'm missing deals.
Yeah, I'm costing you money.
There goes my 100th deal.
I'm costing you money.
No. Anyways, it's like suddenly I'm bedridden and it's hard to chew food. And everybody's like, you got to fight it. You got to beat it. Okay, if you're at a bar and a guy punches you, you have the options to beat him.
Yeah.
Punch him back, throw a beer bottle at him, whatever.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do here?
There's something in me that I don't know how to reach in and just pull out. If I could, I would.
Yeah.
So then it dawned on me, it's, okay, not eating's killing me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to eat. If I puke, I'm going to keep eating. I'm going to get up and do whatever I can until I'm wore out. And I'm going to keep a positive attitude.
Yeah. It was crazy when I called you that day and talked to you about it. I was so down and I was defeated talking to you. And you were actually the one that was raising my spirits, which was really not the way it should have been.
Yeah.
But you're the one, you're the happy guy. You're the guy that like wants to make everybody have fun. And for you to be making me feel better when you're the one going through the issue is just insane to me. And super humbling to me because I know I need to do better. I know I need to be that guy. And you do inspire me by being that person to kind of fight through things, man.
I appreciate that. You know, and it was scary. I had a 4-year-old daughter, you know, supposed to get married May 13th, which we pushed it up to January, and had that first surgery in, you know, December 23rd, I think the date was. And they had to abort. The tumor was too big. So.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that they had to abort the first surgery.
Yeah, they cut me open and was like, this is way too involved. We're going to have to do chemo to shrink it, blah, blah, blah. So you had to wait 6 weeks to heal from your surgery before you can start chemo again. So we go to U of M just to get an opinion and everything, and they said the same thing. And then, so we were like, okay, let's hurry up and get married because I'm somewhat healthy.
Yeah.
Now, who knows where I'm going to be when chemo starts and, you know, it's 12 weeks later and, you know, and really I just wanted to marry Cassie before I died.
Yeah. No, it's scary to think that way, but that's definitely like, I know that was kind of the approach is like, well, let's do this, you know, let's do this right while I'm here.
Yep. So got married January 15th and, you know, it was hard, you know, because I was sick and everything else. And then, so the rehearsal dinner, the Friday before our wedding on Saturday, U of M calls me because I'm supposed to start chemo on Monday.
Oh, right, so, after your wedding.
Yeah. So we're going to get married and then start chemo.
Holy cow.
So U of M calls me and they're like, do not do chemo. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, you're going to have surgery on February 12th. You're going to come in, you're going to have surgery, and we're going to pull this tumor out. And I'm like, the last doctor did that, said if he choked it out, he's going to kill me. And
yeah.
Like, look, it's going to be risky, but it's your best option.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then suddenly, my wife is getting married, you know, tomorrow. She's like an emotional wreck, like nervous.
Oh, I can imagine.
Like, what's going on? I'm like, hey, just think about it. I don't have to do chemo on Monday. Like,
yeah. You're like, look at the positive side.
Seven more weeks of like.
Of hanging out and hanging out. Feeling decent.
Right. February 12th came super quick.
Oh, I can imagine. And so you said you got married on January 15th, so
yeah,
less than a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that whole month of just sitting there waiting for it.
All right. Go in, and it was a 13-hour surgery.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, and I didn't know. You know, they gave me an epidural and a bunch of meds and knocked me out. Yeah, Bill Cosby'd me.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so U of M is a huge hospital. It's almost like being at an airport. You go in, they check you in, and then they have all these screens, and each patient has a number, so it's not the name.
Yeah, so my number is
A 220 or something. You know, and that's not really my number. I don't know what it was. But Cassie said everybody that was on the board when I went in at 6 a.m., whatever it was, they all cleared, and I was the only name on the board.
Oh, man, that's got to be stressful for her just sitting there watching those numbers roll.
And then, you know, a doctor came in and was like, hey, Josh is almost done. We'll be coming getting you in like 10 minutes, and, you know, he'll be asleep, but he's going good.
Yeah.
And then she said it was 2 hours later.
Oh, Jesus.
They came back, and what happened was as she was about to sew me up, she seen some other stuff, and she wanted to clean up, and whatever, got me back, and I woke up and was just kind of like, hey, did they get it?
Yeah.
Because the first surgery, I woke up and was like, hey, they got it, right? And they're like, no.
Oh, man. And the feeling of that, just waking up after you've gone into the surgery thinking that you're going to be taken care of, to wake up to them going, oh, nope, never mind. Nope, we got to do this again.
Yeah, that's, so they said they got it all. It was clean. They were telling me before the surgery I was going to be in ICU for a week or two.
Okay.
Didn't have to do that.
Oh, that's great, man.
Yeah. I got up and walked 7 hours after.
Wow.
The surgery. I only walked a couple feet.
But. Still, that's incredible. That's a massive surgery. 13-hour surgery is no joke.
Yeah.
And knowing that they really, it was an invasive surgery. They were in there doing some stuff.
Yeah.
To be able to get up and move around. That's incredible. Yeah,
they said they pulled out a 12-pound tumor. And
it was really 12 pounds?
Yeah.
That's insane. 12 pounds is huge.
Yeah, that's bigger than my baby.
Dude, that's a fucking, like a house cat. Like 12 right, pounds is huge.
Right. So, you know, I always tell people, you know, those KY jelly and peanut butter sandwiches we made trying to be jackasses when we were in eighth grade or whatever.
Yeah.
Why did we watch Jackass?
Drinking a gallon of milk.
Drinking a gallon of milk as fast as we can.
Yeah, we did some stupid shit for sure.
All that stuff causes colon cancer.
Let's hope that's not the real reason. I'm fucked. I'm next.
So everybody asked me, what's the, you know, knowing you have cancer, you know, everybody kind of is like, if I was told I was going to get cancer, I'm going to go and max out my credit cards, whatever. You know, and I used to have those conversations and stuff randomly. And your mind is totally different. You know, when I was told I had cancer, it wasn't like I'm going to the best doctor I ever could. I'm going to the nearest doctor because I want it out of me as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So then when they do get it out and it's like that recovery time is honestly the worst.
Oh, yeah. And as far as physically or like mentally?
Mentally. Yeah, you know, physically you start. So the surgery they did at U of M went successful.
Okay.
And then I go home and all of a sudden I had a fever and I had to go back. And I ended up being in the hospital for like 15 more days and not eating. And they had to put like drain lines in me and different stuff, and that was like physically the worst pain I've ever been in. And you know, just I was at that moment, I was like, okay, this is what death feels like.
Oh man, and that's intense. That's really intense to feel that. I mean, I don't know. I'd like to, you know, say that, but I don't really know. But just to try to wrap your head around that and to think that's crazy.
So they get I had infections and different stuff, they get that out, and then suddenly it was like I felt great. I could eat, I could do stuff, but I still had all these drain lines, and Cassie's like having to drain me out and change things. I had a colostomy bag, and I just was not the same guy.
Let's stop right there for a second. Your fucking colostomy bag. So by now, everybody knows that I am a tattooer by trade.
Yep.
This guy across from me today came in the night that he got marked for his colostomy bag. And showed me the mark, and then asked if he could, if I could tattoo a butthole where his colostomy bag was going to go. That is this guy that we're talking to today. It's
I really didn't get that, but
no, we obviously couldn't do that, but we did talk about it.
Yeah, and it was funny.
It was really damn funny. All right, now that I interrupted you, you were talking about getting a colostomy bag and Cassie having to drain everything.
And then, you know, a younger classmate of ours died during this time from cancer.
Okay.
Kennedy.
Yeah.
And I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky guy. I'll chat, joke around and laugh. And even when things are a little more serious, I'll joke around just because that's the way I am.
Yeah.
You know.
And isn't that true you named your tumor?
Yeah. ODT. Old dirty tumor.
Old dirty tumor. What a lunatic.
But mentally, it was like, you know, he died. I probably should have died too. I'm alive. my wife sitting here having to not only provide for the family, but take care of me, my wounds and all the stuff that I just couldn't do.
Yeah.
And when I felt great, I wanted to go back to my job and do stuff. And
what were you doing at that time?
I worked for the city of St. Joe in the water department.
Okay.
And they would not let me for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But mentally, it was just people telling me, no, you can't come here and do this. And
man, that's really defeating too.
It just got me depressed. And, you know, I would cry. I was super emotional. I was like beside myself. And that's Cassie's like, hey, you're always wheeling and dealing. You love real estate. I had investment properties that we sold to pay for cancer. And
yeah.
Different stuff. And she's like, just get your real estate license. And I was good friends with Lars. He stopped by and I was kind of talking to him. He's like, yeah, man, do it. I'll take you. I don't care if you have chemo bags and colostomy bags and whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Right.
If you can show a house, you can show a house.
Right, right. So that's how I ended up getting into real estate.
That's crazy. So what helped you? I mean, was getting into real estate, what helped you get out of your funk?
Or it did. It, yeah. It gave me a meaning. I mean, obviously my family and friends, and my biggest joke was, you know, everybody come visit me. And I'm like, ah, don't worry. I'm not going to die. Obviously, I had not pissed off enough people yet.
Yeah.
There's so many people that care about me.
Yeah. You told me that on the phone.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not dying. This is stupid. I'm going to fight this shit. You're like, I'm not going to die. Are you kidding me?
Right.
You were just all about it. You're like, nope, fuck this. Like,
yeah.
Fuck cancer. I'm not dying.
There's a million other ways I probably should have died younger. Yeah. And I just don't see cancer doing that.
No, I get it, man. I get it. And really, I say this, and I say this in the most sincere way possible. I don't know if there's another person in my life that I think could have handled this situation the way you handled it. I know you had your downtimes, but you are one of the mentally strongest people I've ever met. And to be able to just tell yourself, this is not going to control me and this is not going to defeat me, it is amazing. And to watch you not only say it, but to do it is incredible.
I appreciate that. And obviously my wife is, you know, there, and she was the one that was like, this isn't the guy I married, you know, Mr. Crying and, yeah, you know, sad. And, you know, I was watching, it was March Madness going on at that time, watching basketball. And one of the teams, one of the Cinderella teams, the coach's daughter, who was, you know, 6, 7 years old, had cancer. And was in the hospital, and it would show her, and she had the NG tubes and all this stuff that I knew because I just had it.
Yeah, you just
and
felt
I
that.
Knew how miserable it was, and was just like, you know, bawling. And Cassie's like, you know what? She took me to a counselor at the hospital, you know, and I felt weird because I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying it's bad to be that guy.
Yeah,
like I said, I'm the one that would joke around about stuff.
Yeah.
Left there, felt, you know, got some positive words, and Cassie was just like, get your real estate license, you got this. And once you're, you know, that'll give you something, and then once that all clears up, you can go back to work and blah blah blah. You know, the goal was just sell some homes as a hobby, basically, you
yeah
know?
And then get back to a normal job,
right?
Quote unquote normal job,
right? You know, doing 8 rounds of chemo and selling 20 homes. I was like, dude, you're pretty good at this. Let's not go back to the city.
So you know? So all the chemo and all that stuff, that was 2016, early 2016.
Yeah.
Right?
So
2016 you got your real estate license?
2016.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So in a short time, 2 years, you've grown from this man that was nothing, was, you know, cancer ridden, was basically told you were going to die, to becoming one of the best real estate agents in the nation. That's
I mean there's a lot of great agents out there, and
dude, that's pretty fucking incredible. You can be as humble as you want. That's pretty fucking incredible. Yeah. It's awesome, man. And actually, I mean, I say this, I bought and sold a house from you this year.
Yeah.
And you fucking made the experience amazing for me. So I can only imagine, you know, somebody coming in that doesn't know you and being able to pick up your vibe is just awesome.
It's always fun. Obviously, I have a construction background, so I know homes. I know how it works. And, you know, a lot of people are like, you can sell ice to an Eskimo type of thing.
Yeah.
And that works in a great way when you're a seller and a realtor comes in with some offer. And I'm like, just hold my beer. Let me get you 8 more grand or 10 more grand, whatever this offer is. We're going to get it close to asking price. And you know, most sellers are just anxious to sell because they're tired of opening up their doors and everything. And
yeah,
they're okay with taking an $8,000 loss where I want to take a $500 loss.
Yeah. You know? No, you're killing it. You really, I mean, I know you worked hard for me, but I know that that wasn't just because it was me. I mean, you were working hard because you were working hard and yeah. you were killing it for everybody. Dude, yeah. you sold 71 fucking houses this year. Yeah. It's August. Right. That's still, you told me that number earlier and that just blows my mind.
Yeah. So Lars, my good friend that helped me get into real estate, he's at 73 right now.
Oh, you got to catch him, man.
I know. That's all year, I was killing him.
Yeah.
At one point, I was like 15 up on him.
Oh, that's crazy.
And I was like, hey, number two. Hey, number two.
That's what's up? Awesome.
Every day, coming in the office, taunting him. And then the second he sold one more than I did, he was like, hey, number two.
Oh, man. Like,
dude, you're a dick.
Yeah, way to hammer you.
Right. And then I would go up on him, and now he's two up on me, but I've got two Friday.
So. Nice. Nice. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. I really hope you hit your 150. I mean, that's yeah. that would be sick. That's crazy, dude.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I hit 100, I'm going to be excited just because I really want to hit 100.
Yeah.
But I'm still being disappointed I didn't get 150. So no, I need to get 150.
That's you, dude. That's always you, just driving for more. You're like, I will be the best at whatever I can be, regardless of what it is, yeah. which is awesome.
Appreciate it.
Which is awesome. When we came into this, I knew that I wanted to talk to you kind of about your cancer and how it affected you. But I also knew that coming into this, that you were pretty much an open book on cancer and yeah. your cancer. And I knew that I wanted to talk to you about it because, like you were telling me before, like you want people to know because you can, you know, you beat it. So anybody else can beat it.
I'm not the first person to get cancer. And certainly I'm not the first one to beat it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So cancer could have killed me. You know, did I get lucky? Probably. Did I have a loving wife and supportive family that did? Yes. And it isn't, you know, like most sports, it's a mental game.
Yeah.
You go in, you get chemo. So after all these surgeries, infections and stuff cleared up, I had to get chemo. And the hospital does a great job of making it almost like a cafe.
Okay.
You know, you have loungers and stuff and you have this thing called a port, which is in your upper chest, a thing that they just stick an IV in real okay. fast.
And it's a permanent thing?
Yeah, I'm hoping to get it removed here next okay. year.
Okay, semi-permanent thing?
Yeah, and they keep telling me I have to wait 5 years. I'm like, oh, dude, I want it out now.
Gotcha. We're at three right now, so you're doing pretty damn good.
Right. My goal is to get it out less than five. So I'll be persistent on being a nag.
Yeah, but the chemo is like a very communal feel.
Yeah, so you know, they do a good job of, you know, you have to be there like 4 or 5 hours. And some cancers, you probably have to be longer.
Oh, wow.
So you'd go in to it's called Maria Yeager Cancer Place, and they'd plug me in and start.
Is that's local? That's the St. Joe?
Yeah, in St. Joe, yeah. And they'd plug in and start pumping chemo in 4 or 5 hours. I'd bring a lunch, and they had people, volunteers, that come by and give you pop and juice, whatever, and warm blankets if you need it, and so you're there and you're around everybody else that's doing the same thing you are. It may not be the same cancer, but they're doing the same thing.
Yeah, they're there for the same reason.
They want to beat this shit and they want to, you know, live on and someday not have to do this.
Yeah, and they're absolutely there for the same reason to fight.
Right. So you'd meet a lot of friends, you'd hear stories, and, you know, some people are Debbie Downers and, like, and you try to encourage them and it didn't matter, but...
Yeah.
And then there's some that were just, you know, there for a laugh, too.
Oh, that's good. And that's you. That's yeah. you to make people laugh and want yeah. to make people laugh.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. You know, like the one guy, I'm like, damn, you lost more hair again? You know? And he loved it. He's like, you son of a bitch.
Oh, man, that's awesome. That's so awesome to be able to rib each other like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you talking with people? Are you having people reach out to you?
Yeah. Before this, I didn't even have a Facebook or anything like that. My sister was like, hey, you need to have a Facebook page. Her phone was blowing up. People were, you know, the small town world here. Everybody knows everybody. Her phone was blowing up. Just people concerned, you know, heard I was sick.
Oh, absolutely. And for the people, you know, obviously we don't know how far this will go, but for the people that don't know you, everybody that I know that knows you loves you. Right. Everybody that's ever met you seems to love you. If I bring you up, people are like, oh, I love that guy. That guy's incredible.
Yeah. I
get people caring for you.
I know, I need to start pissing some people off.
You do.
No, I'm joking. So my sister started that Facebook page just to keep everybody updated. And then obviously I got my real estate license, so you had to get Facebook to reach out to people. And
absolutely. It's a great business.
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, a guy messaged me and said, "Hey, I seen that you had the same cancer my mom does. I need to ask you some questions." So I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." Gave him my number and, you know, told him my schedule. I was like, "Hey, I've got meetings this time. Call me 2:00. So he called me at 2:00 and he was from Texas and his mom's in India.
Oh, wow.
And he was telling me what his doctors were saying, and he wanted to know if that's the right procedure. And I'm like, "Hey, look, I'm no doctor." I was kind of dumb when the doctors were telling me stuff because I was just like, "Hey, whatever, just do it."
Yeah, you absolutely. Know,
I'll do what I got to do.
Yeah, get this out of me.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I told him what my procedures were, and he's like, "Yep, that's what my mom's going through." So I'm like, "Great, you know, like, do you want me to call her and talk to her and tell her to kick its ass?" And he laughed, and he's like, "She doesn't know English."
I would love to hear you try to explain that.
And if you say Indian those woman. Words to my mom, she will be offended. But he was a great guy, you know.
Oh,
he
that's, knew what that's really cool. From, and so. That's really cool that he reached out to you like that.
Yeah.
Is that something you're open to, is having people reach out to you? Do you like talking to people about it? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. I just talked to another guy that I knew through family, friends. And
okay.
His dad just had pancreatic cancer. He was asking me how my first round of chemo went because he's just doing his first round of chemo.
Yeah, I know it's rough. We just went through it like 2017 with my wife's mother. She really battled it. And sadly, she ended up losing the battle. But I do know how rough chemo can be. Yeah. And to watch it eat somebody away is just devastating.
Yeah. The first time I hit chemo, obviously, you don't know what to expect. You don't know. So I was like, "All right, I'm going to go at this. Like, I'm getting the flu shot, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to sit here for 4 hours. I'm going to pretend I don't feel nothing," which you don't. You know, it's an IV, and they're just pumping stuff into you.
Yeah.
And got up and left, and I was like, "Still feel the same." We went to Chili's. I was going to eat. I ordered a glass of water, and then I went to take a sip of the water, and my hands felt like, you know, knives, you know, like,
oh, really?
Like it fell asleep, you know, and like sharp pains. I'm like, "Man, that's weird." And as I swallowed, it was like knives.
And that was pretty much like immediately afterwards?
Within an hour after chemo.
Oh, wow.
So you do 4 hours of pump. Okay. Or of this sitting there and they're pumping it in you.
Okay.
And then they do a slow pump. So you got to wear this fanny pack with a pump for 2 days. And it's like a slow pump of chemo.
Okay. And I bet you love the style of that fanny pack.
Oh, yeah. And it would, and I'm selling houses and my pump's going, I'm like, "Yeah, the, you know, great bathroom." You know. Anyways, I'm like, "Oh, that hurt." And my wife's like, "Didn't you hear them tell you, like, you're going to have side effects, don't have cold stuff, because it'll feel like knives and stuff." I'm like, "I wasn't listening. You know, that's why I have you."
Yeah.
You know? So it was like, drink warm water. I couldn't even reach in the refrigerator. I had to wear gloves everywhere. And it was, you know, June.
Oh, man, that's intense. That's really intense. And as far, I mean, what about eating? I mean, eating was fine, or is that?
Yeah, it was fine on eating. So then after those 48 hours of that carrying the fanny pack around, they would give you, I think it was called a Neulasta shot. Don't quote me on this. Like I said, I don't pay attention. I just do it.
Okay, we'll pretend like that was right.
Right. So, give you a Neulasta shot in the arm. Went on to my day. The next day, it felt like I got hit by a train. It was just like, couldn't move. Just like paralyzed.
Oh, wow.
So, I just laid in bed all day and like trying to text people and stuff. And just, you know, like, "Oh my gosh, that's terrible." And the next day, I was fine.
Yeah. So, I didn't realize, I mean, I know it's really devastating and really takes effect, but I didn't realize it was quite that quick. I thought it was after sessions that it would kind of start to wear you down.
Yeah. Some people, it is like that. It's just, there's so many different chemos. I think mine was called Full Fox or Foxtrot or something.
Okay.
You know, I remember making jokes like, "Oh, that sounds like some kind of mission they're going to do in Afghanistan and blow up ISIS or whatever."
Yeah. Yep, time to save the world.
Yeah, or a football play or something. You know?
Yeah, there you go, Foxtrot.
Foxtrot on three.
Oh, boy. So after a few sessions.
Yeah, so you do, so it was every other week. So 1 week chemo, but pretty much the whole week, because you get a day of pumping and then 2 days of slow pump.
Okay.
And then they take it out. And
2 days of the awesome fanny pack?
Yeah. Yeah, so. So then you'd have like a week off and you'd go back and do another round. And they would test your blood on the off week. And so whatever blood count, my white blood cells or red, whatever, were super high, which was what was supposed to happen with that Neulasta shot. I only had to do the Neulasta shot, I think, twice. And that thing...
And you said it really kicked your butt when you had
to do it. Oh, dude, if what they need to do, if they need to get people to confess instead of waterboarding, just give them a Neulasta shot.
Oh, jeez. Is it that bad?
Yeah, and then threaten to give them another one if they don't talk.
Holy cow. And they'll spill all the beans.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Tell you
if not, they'll just make up stuff to get it.
Jesus.
Yeah.
False confession.
Yeah, that's it. Oh. There you go, Bob.
There you go, Bob. Truth and justice.
New last of shots. New waterboarding.
Jesus Christ. That's awesome. What was Neulasta? Is that what you call it? What is it called?
Neulasta, I think.
Neulasta?
Yeah, and don't quote me on that. It could just be a commercial I just seen. It could be a herpes medication. I mean, like I said, I didn't listen to the doctors.
Yeah, we know. We know you didn't listen to the doctors, which is great. And probably better for us because...
That's when my wife was down, you know, I seemed to be up. And when she was up, I would be like, okay, this is my time to be...
Yeah.
To be a little down here.
Well, and that's part of marriage is being that team.
Right. Cassie was a wreck when you know, this was all first going down. And our doctor that actually told me to go get an ultrasound and stuff because she could feel my spleen is what started it. She was feeling on my stomach. And
okay.
She called us up because she's seen the CAT scan and was like, hey, I want to talk to you guys. You know, she sat us down and she's like, I don't want the rug to be pulled out from you tomorrow, but you've got cancer. And, you know, I don't know what it is yet. We got to get biopsies and different stuff. But from everything we see, this is most likely cancer. And Cassie's like bawling. And I'm like, dude, I'm glad I got something.
Yeah.
Like, what if you would have told me this is a cold? I would have felt like a big pussy.
Yeah.
You know, so then.
That's a way to look at it, I guess.
So then we leave and Cassie's crying. I'm like, hey, we got it. It's all right. You know, at least we know what's going on, blah, blah. So Cassie goes back to talk to her. I'm like, hey, I want to, you know, thank you for everything. And she's like, is your husband human? Like, he just smiled. You know, and it was looking back, I was just in a trance, like almost tunnel vision of like not knowing. Like I said, I got a daughter, my wife. I don't want them to remember me as being this scared little guy or whatever, you know.
Yeah. And it's on top of that, I mean, just probably the disbelief.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
I wasn't. I mean, honestly, I was thinking, okay, I made it to 30. That's amazing.
Yeah,
I didn't think I was going to go to 22, but made it to 30. So now, you know, I'm probably going to die 65, having a heart attack across the kitchen floor.
Yeah. Well, let's hope not. Let's hope you go further than that.
Yeah, now I'm hoping 80, 85, you know. Yeah.
65, masturbating in the den.
Yeah.
No, that's, yeah, it's crazy to think that at 30 years old, that anybody could be diagnosed with something that rough. And to be able to fight it off, you know, it just seems unfair to anybody at 30. I mean, 30 is young.
Yeah, that's my wife's like, you're in your mid-30s. I'm like, that's so young.
Yeah, to think 30, you know, to the possibility that you could have passed at 30 is unreal. And you now have three daughters.
Yeah, that's a whole other crazy story. So... being 30 and just having one daughter at the time, you know, they're like, hey, chemo can, like, you may want to go to a sperm, you know, clinic and freeze this before we do chemo.
Okay. They think it could ruin, think they could damage the sperm.
Yeah. So they're like, you probably want kids. And we're like, yeah, absolutely. You know.
Now, at this time, your daughter was from a previous relationship, not with your current wife.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, I can imagine.
Which they're best friends.
Yeah.
You know? Daughter and my daughter's stepmom.
Yeah. Okay.
Just clarify that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. I get what you're saying. But I can definitely see that your wife wanted to have kids with you. You know,
yeah.
She loves you. She wants to take care of you, and she is taking care of you during this.
Doing a great job.
And
still taking good care of me.
Absolute saint. I mean, I knowing you as long as I know you, and how much I know that she cherishes you. She's a saint.
Yeah, she I was making some jokes today and they're like, how does Cassie deal with you?
It's awesome.
Right. She enjoys it.
Yeah. Except for the part that you made her pregnant for 2 years in a row.
Yes, and we didn't have to use a sperm doctor. That's
so come back from this, you guys wanted to have more kids.
Yeah.
And you had to do this whole doctor deal. What was the experience like after that? Wanted to start this family together and kind of progressing from there. That feeling that you had when you first found out Cassie was pregnant the first time, like, what was that?
So she was on birth control, you know, for the longest time or whatever. And I was like, hey, just get off. I'm feeling great. I'm, you know, cancer free now because I had a third operation where they took the colostomy bag out, reconnected that, and took the last tumor off my other kidney.
Okay.
So it was like cancer free, woohoo, sweet. And let's see what happens. So it was, you know, Cassie and I are Cubs fans, born and raised Cubs fans. Her whole family's Cub fans.
Growing up, you lived next to a Cubby bar.
Right. Yeah. And we used to terrorize that bar, sneaking out of the fort and soaping people's. So, okay, we're off track here. That's but fine. I just want to tell a story about Zach and I. I had a fort that my mom thought we liked to stay in because, you know, we pretend we're playing Army. We're 13 years old. We stayed up there so we could sneak out and TV people. Well, what a block away was the getaway bar and grill. Zach and I would sneak out with a bar of soap and write on people's windows, "You're cheating on me. I knew you were cheating on me." And we didn't know. And we would stand back and we'd watch these guys come out to their car and like, "I told you she's a psycho bitch." They think his girlfriend did it.
Yep.
That was evil. Funny.
We did some terrible shit. And so it was so good.
Funny. Like, who thinks of this stuff?
Oh, God. We were terrible kids. And the best part is this is going to be out there, and my kids might one day hear this.
Or somebody's like, dude, that would have been 20 years ago. I lost the love of my life because I thought she was crazy, and she didn't do that to my car.
Yeah. These two assholes that are now on a podcast did this.
It was a 93 Geo Metro. No, I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that now, you know, the two of us sitting here talking, both being dads, you know, in this crazy life experience.
And not letting them cross the road or anything.
Yeah, not letting anything happen.
Yeah.
Is crazy because we did the gnarliest shit all the time.
Yeah. I feel bad because now with all these cameras and everything, there's no way kids can do what we did.
Oh, kids can't get away with anything.
No.
No.
My daughter would never be able to sneak alcohol from me like we did our parents because... It's just too easy to have a little camera set up and...
Yeah, absolutely.
Alarm system.
What the fuck were we talking about? We were talking about Cassie being pregnant.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You grew up by the getaway bar.
That happened.
Yeah. So Cubs are one game away from the World Series. It was do or die. It was a game 7. We're watching this game at home. I just sold my 18th home of the year, you know, been a realtor for like 7 months or whatever it was. And so things were looking good, feeling great. No more chemo or anything like that. And Cubs were winning. And I'm like, Cass. And Cassie is just like me. She's a good timer. She likes to cocktail. So I'm like, let's go to the bar. Let's high five some people. Let's do some shots and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you're 32 years old. Grow up.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm like, what is your problem? Like, this is not the woman I married.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like giving her a hard time. And she's like, dude, you need to grow up. And I'm like, look. The Cubs haven't won the World Series in well over 100 years, 108 years. This is like history.
Yeah.
Someday our kids are going to be like, what were you guys doing when the Cubs won the World Series? And I'm going to have to look them in the eye and tell them, your dad was in his underwear, sitting on the couch eating Cheetos, begging your mom in sweatpants to go have some drinks with me. That sounds like a great story. Or we could be like, we got blackout drunk.
Yes. And we high-five strangers all night.
Yeah, we were hugging. We kissed a bum.
You know? Oh, you don't ever kiss a bum. Don't ever kiss a bum. That's how you catch
something. That could have been it. And then finally, she was like, look, I'm pregnant. And had the thing, and I was just like...
Oh, you found out during the World Series.
During the World Series.
That is fucking incredible.
Yeah, it was awesome. That's why she didn't want to go out drinking.
Oh, man. What a way to tell you, too.
Yeah.
She's like, honey, I know you're a Cubs fan. I know the Cubs are about to win the World Series.
Right.
I might have something more important.
And then all of a sudden the game got tied up after we found out, after I found out she knew the whole day.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, dude, if the Cubs lose, my kid's cursed. But the Cubs won.
Yeah.
And we had Nora.
Oh, that's amazing.
Nora's healthy. And then, you know, 2 months after she was born, got pregnant again.
Yeah.
Not trying.
What are they called? Irish twins?
That's exactly.
How far apart are they?
10 months.
10 months, dude. That's gnarly.
Oh, it's crazy, dude. It's
crazy. Holy cow. And that's why you're here with me tonight.
Yes.
And not at home, because you're like, I need out of the house for a minute.
Yes.
You're like, please talk to me.
Right. And I'm like, it's bad now, but what's it going to be like when they're like 14?
You're screwed, man. You're screwed when they become teenagers, when they get in high school, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You think battling cancer was hard.
Oh, dude, that's easy. Wait, that's child's play, dude.
Three teenage daughters.
Oh, God.
Well, I guess your oldest won't be a teenager when the other two are teenagers. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's she's six.
Okay.
So she's 6 years older than.
Okay. So yeah, they'll be right at the opposite ends of teenage.
But still, 13 and 19, that's
crazy.
I don't think they start liking you again until they probably start hating you at 10, and they probably don't like you again until they're like 22.
Your oldest daughter can buy your youngest daughter's alcohol.
I know.
Have you thought about that?
Many, many, many times.
Yeah.
That's
dangerous, buddy.
Yes.
That's absolutely dangerous.
Positive side of having three young kids like this, on three daughters especially, and a wife who is a redhead. In my listing presentation, I have the family photo. And one of my closing deals is, hey, you're probably asking, why should I hire this guy? After I show you, you've been through my listing presentation.
Yep.
You know, I do my homework and have the comps and everything. I say, here's a picture of my family. You know, you see a happy, lovely family, which we are. But I see three daughters and a redheaded wife that loves shiny stuff. Some realtors may have to sell your house. May try.
Yeah.
I have to feed them. I will sell your home.
Yeah, it's time to put in work.
Yeah, like it's got to happen.
So if people want to reach you, what's the best way to contact you as far as real estate?
Cell phone, 269-757-2769, or email.
Okay, and what's your email?
josh@frazeeteam.com. So that's FRAZEETEAM.com.
All right, and as far as the cancer stuff goes, anybody willing to talk to you or want to reach out to you, what's a good way to go? Facebook, good way to go to message you? Or
yeah, Facebook, email me, and then we'll exchange numbers, or you can just call me.
Oh, that's amazing. That's really amazing for you to be able to talk to people like that.
Yeah.
On a closing note, anybody that's dealing with cancer, what do you have to say to them?
Keep your head up. When you feel good, do what you love to do. And when you're feeling down, try to just do a little. There was times where it was hard for me to get off the couch, but I'd get off the couch, walk to the kitchen, put one dish in the dishwasher, and get myself a glass of water just so I can say I did something. Because I always felt, you know, the only way I'm going to beat this is it's trying to keep me down, but I'm going to keep moving. And there were times I just got in the car and drove around because I could do it.
That's awesome, man. Josh, thank you for being here today. I fucking love you, dude.
Love you, buddy.